Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
It is Big 12 mailbag time on the show. Welcome in. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. We are answering your questions. We're talking about the Big 12, Kansas City, future events that could be happening in that town, and much more. We are with you, and we are waiting for your questions as well. Pop them in right now on Facebook and on YouTube. Get in those questions and hit the like button on YouTube as well. Thanks for listening on the radio or also on the podcast. So our first question comes courtesy of Nick, who is in Kansas City. Pete, I listen to you in the mornings on KCMO Talk Radio. What are the odds the Big 12 championship game in football ends up coming to Kansas City with the new stadium that the Chiefs announced on Monday? Well, I would say better than 50-50 that Kansas City can land a Big 12 football championship game now that the Chiefs are moving from Missouri to Kansas, if you didn't see this news, and they are going to build a domed facility out by the racetrack in Wyandotte County. So I looked this up before we came on the show, and right now the Big 12 contract with AT&T Stadium in Arlington, of course Jerry World, runs through the 2030 season. The Chiefs will open up their new stadium for the 2031 season. That is a perfect timeline for when the Kansas City Chiefs may be able to host a Big 12 championship between, who knows what the leagues look like at that point. I don't have any idea. But the timing works out perfectly for the Big 12 to host a championship football game in a new Kansas City Chiefs Arrowhead West Stadium in 2031. And I believe that Brett Yormark will be actively exploring that, because remember, Brett Yormark is somebody who has been very good to Kansas City, and Kansas City's been very good to him. Here comes this New York City NBA dude who comes to the Big 12 tournament for the first time a couple of years ago. A little bit skeptical. Reports are that he wants to go to Vegas and New York and all these different places. And the New York City slickster falls in love with Kansas City. He signs an extension with Kansas City. So Brett Yormark knows the city and knows the region very well. And I think he would be very open to doing more events in a domed stadium here in Kansas City now that the Chiefs are going to have that in the early 2030s. So my answer to that question would be better than 50-50. I'm excited about it. And it could be an opportunity for other Big 12 games to come to Kansas City. Something to watch is I could see KU K-State playing a game in Kansas City. I don't like that, to be honest. I like games that are supposed to be on campus being played on campus. But don't kid yourself. This new stadium is going to be bidding for like what Atlanta does, a week one or week zero game between an ACC or an SEC team or a Big 12 and an SEC team, whatever it might be. This stadium is going to be primed for that. We saw it last year. Nebraska played Cincinnati, right? So there'll be a lot more of that, I think, coming to this stadium. And they're going to obviously be in line for other events as well during the late fall, winter months. And that's a game changer for not just Kansas City, but possibly for the Big 12 as well. But I would keep the Sunflower Showdown in Lawrence or Manhattan. I don't generally like to see games that are supposed to be on campus leave campus. Those are critically important games to the economies in these college towns, and that matters a lot to me, as it does a lot of small businesses in these communities. But it wouldn't shock me if once in a while that game between KU and K-State also ends up being played in Kansas City. Let's get your questions in right now. Get them in on YouTube and on Facebook. It is Mailbag Time. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Bracket Cat notes here, please don't forget about the Final Four as well, Pete. Yeah, no, I know. Like, I believe Kansas City will get a Final Four. Kansas City's not going to be in a Final Four rotation. Kansas City will get a Super Bowl. Kansas City's not going to be in the Super Bowl rotation. They'll get a Super Bowl because every new stadium does, in honor of Lamar Hunt especially, but it will not be in the rotation. Maybe a Final Four, maybe a Super Bowl. They'll get one of each. More than that, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that is all that likely. No way, no how. Get your questions in right now on the Big 12 football mailbag. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12, and we are glad you are here, as always, joining us on the show. Got this from Culture Provocateur. New Bronco Stadium should be coming in about 2031 as well. Not as deep of a tie to Denver for the Big 12, obviously, but it's in the Big 12 footprint. You can make the case, obviously, with Colorado right in their backyard. So, you know, I'm okay with that being in the rotation, I guess. And that's what I'm seeing from a lot of you as well. Can the rotation now be something the Big 12 brings to the Big 12 football championship game? If you do a rotation, I'd keep it tight, real tight. I'd do Kansas City. I would do Dallas. If you want to squeeze in, what is the stadium down there where the Arizona Cardinals play? You got a couple of teams down there, convenient for our West Coast friends. And then you want to have one on the East Coast in Florida, I'd be open to that. Kansas City, Dallas, West Coast, East Coast. Florida, Phoenix, done. Four rotations, every 4 years, everyone gets one. That's what I would do if you're looking ahead of the 2030s. But that's, of course, assuming the Big 12 stays with the 16 teams that it's got right now. And if there's anything we know about the landscape of college athletics, it's to expect change and expect the unexpected. All right? That's what you got to really talk about here. Okay, let's get to some more of your questions on the show. What do we got here? Mitchell, is Notre Dame BYU now the biggest non-conference game for the conference next season? Yes, it is, Mitchell. That is a great question. Notre Dame versus BYU is the biggest non-conference game in the Big 12 next season, and I have not even seen the full schedule. But the way that Notre Dame cowardly bailed from BYU in the Pop-Tarts Bowl after being upset it didn't make the college football playoff makes that game next year the biggest non-conference game the Big 12 has on the 2026 schedule. I was so fired up to see this news on Monday. I was happy for the Big 12. I was happy for BYU. And yes, that's the number one game I've got circled. I don't, you know, even have any idea what my kids' schedule, what my wife's schedule is going to look like. But I'll tell you right now, I'm not doing squat when that game gets played. All right? Nothing is going to happen. That is an enormous game for the Big 12. It's an enormous game for BYU. And when that schedule comes out, that date, we get that kickoff time, man, it is going to be fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So great question there, Mitchell. Good stuff. And I totally agree with you. That becomes a monster moment for the Big 12 to prove itself and for BYU to stand up for itself as a program after what happened this season, the end of the regular season, the playoff rankings, the inability to play Notre Dame in a bowl game. It all now comes full circle coming up next season. And the only reason this is happening, let's be very clear, is because Notre Dame and USC could not come to an agreement on continuing that series. Notre Dame wanted that game late in the year. USC said, we're not doing that in November in the middle of the Big Ten season. We'll do it early in the year. They could not agree. Notre Dame says, fine, we're going with BYU. And it works out to the Big 12 and BYU's benefit. One of the things we've talked a lot about is how the Big 12 has to continue to win important non-conference games and prove itself on the field. in games that matter. That's now college football playoff games, bowl games to a lesser extent, a much lesser extent, sadly, and then the non-conference. And this is a great opportunity for the Big 12 to take advantage of that and have a big-time showing in a monster non-conference game. BYU beats Georgia Tech in the bowl game and then goes out there in the non-con next year and beats Notre Dame. And by the way, if Texas Tech has a big run in the college football playoff, the narrative for the Big 12 is going to and should shift very quickly in terms of how the top part of this league is perceived by the rest of the college football and the dopey ESPN talking heads. So I'm all in. Let's go to this. Darius, why are the signs gone? Okay. If you're watching on YouTube, I had all the signs for 16 Big 12 teams on the backdrop. People complained all the time about the signs. They said, my sign is too small for my team. That sign's too big. And I wanted more depth. So I did shelving. I made it more Big 12 generic. And this is what we've got. I'm toying with it. I'm not some interior designer. If you are, I'd love to get your thoughts. I'd love to get your feedback. Email me, PeteMundo@HeartlandCollegeSports.com. I love that there has been great passion around this topic. We're turning the page to a new year. Now's the time to do it. So give me all your ideas, all your thoughts. We're also looking at, you know, talking to different small and mid-sized businesses about sponsorships around this show. So if that's potentially you and your business, please do reach out. Pete Mundo at Heartland College Sports. We had a record-breaking season on YouTube and on the podcast. So we've gotten some more interest on that front, and you can email me anytime, PeteMundo@HeartlandCollegeSports.com, and we can talk and have a conversation and see if there's a match. But that's why the signs are gone. I thought I needed some depth, and I got too many complaints. And now I'm getting complaints on the other end. And you want the sign back. Okay, fine. Maybe I get all the same signs. I'll do it like socialism. Everybody gets the same size sign. Do I just do it that way so people aren't complaining? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
All right, get in your questions right now for the Big 12 football mailbag. Get in the mix. We appreciate you being here. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Thanks so much for joining us, as always, as a part of the show. There's a lot going on here as we look at what's happening in the Big 12. We've got Kyle Whittingham potentially as the next head coach at Michigan. And this comes in from Bruce. Bruce in Salt Lake City asking on Facebook, Pete, do you really want Kyle Whittingham to take the job? Well, I want it if Kyle Whittingham wants it. Does that make sense? Like, I want it if Kyle Whittingham wants something to do and feels like he's not done. And I'll support him. I don't care about Michigan football. It's irrelevant to me. My life doesn't change. This show doesn't change. Kyle Whittingham is the favorite to be the next head coach at Michigan. Kalashi Odds has him at a 25% number. That's up from 22% over the weekend to be the next head coach at Michigan. If he feels like he's got the energy, he's a great guy. He's a stable, steady hand. So if this is what he wants to do at this time, then you know what? Let him do it. I'm not going to sit here and stop him. At all. I'm just going to rock and roll and say, fine, let it be. It's all good. be the head coach at Michigan for a year or two. I think it's a great fit for Michigan because there's not an obvious home run hire out there for them right now. So why not go ahead with a guy like Kyle Whittingham, who knows how to win at a very high level and can stabilize this program during a major time of need? Get your questions in right now. Facebook, YouTube, social media for our Big 12 mailbag. Let's have some fun with this. Chuck says on Facebook, how about my Red Raiders, not only in the college football playoff, but ranked in men's and women's basketball? Chuck, it is good to have money, my brother. It is good to have the moolah, as Jerry Maguire famously said as he's screaming into the phone, show me the money. And it's good to have the dough. And Texas Tech should not apologize for that. I've been a defender of Texas Tech all season long, sitting here and saying, you know what? They shouldn't apologize for spending money. Other teams are. They're doing it too. They've got the donors to do it, that want to do it, that support the program. It's all good. But for some reason with Texas Tech, it's all we talk about. But still, I mean, you know, you're ranked in, obviously, college football playoff number 4. Basketball is looking great, especially after their win on Saturday against Duke. And then you've got the women's hoops team playing well. It's all good. Everyone's happy. Softball should be great again. I'd like to see baseball turn things around a little bit from where they were a few years back. But there is great optimism with that Texas Tech athletic department. They have tremendous support. I'm a fan of everything happening in Lubbock, and it's a big time for the Big 12. So let's do it, man. Let's do it. What else? Darius asks here, what has to happen for the Big 12 to get respect in the playoff? How many games do we have to win? The Big 12 has to win, meaning Texas Tech has to win, 2 games in the college football playoff to get respect. 2 wins gets you to a national championship. And that's what Texas Tech desperately needs, and that's what the Big 12 desperately needs to get that respect. It's a fantastic question, and the answer is 2. And then hopefully when you get to the national championship, you don't get TCU'd, which is lose by 60 points to Georgia. Now, that won't happen with this team. I'm very confident that won't happen with Tech if they get there, but obviously that would be a nightmare. And I was doing a radio hit with Benjamin Criddle. He does a good show out of Salt Lake City, BYU guy. And he said to me, objectively and subjectively, why does the Big 12 not get enough respect from the college football playoff? And I said, well, objectively, you can look at the fact that in the history of the college football playoff, this conference has 1 win. And it's TCU, beating Michigan a few years ago in that semifinal when it was still a 4-team playoff. A TCU team that lost to K-State in the Big 12 championship game. And then what happened, it was an all-time embarrassment against Georgia. So that's the lasting memory for the Big 12 in this college football playoff era. 1 win because OU had a ton of losses. Nobody made it outside of OU in those early years. They lost every time. Should have beaten Georgia in the Rose Bowl, but neither here nor there. And then you got TCU getting the 1 win and then getting smoked by Georgia. So objectively, that is a problem for the Big 12. Subjectively, conspiratorially, if you want to call it that, you know, you do have a league that has been massively disrespected in part because you've got a de facto college football playoff commissioner in ESPN that is in bed with the SEC in the biggest way as their largest partner, paying them more money for the games than they are the Big 12, and saying this is the conference that we want and need to have the most success. And that's why the system's massively broken and the sport is in a very difficult spot right now. No one's in charge. ESPN's basically in charge, and it's biting the Big 12 in the butt as a result. So if that's a conspiracy theory, you know what? Sign me up. I'll be your Alex Jones or whatever you want to call me. I'll take it. I don't mind because I think there's definitely some of that going on. But then there is the objective side where you would say to yourself, okay, but also the Big 12 does have to start winning some games in this tournament. And that's really what this is, a tournament. And that's why Arizona State coming so close and frankly should have beat Texas last year would have been tremendous for the Big 12. And Cam Scataboo and Leavitt and Dillingham and that team, man, that would have been big, and they should have won the game, of course. But that's why the Big 12 needs to start stacking up some wins, and that's why Tech, to me, has to get two wins, get to a national title to start bringing that respect to the Big 12. We hope that Joey McGuire and team can absolutely go ahead and do that. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Please do subscribe right now to the channel. We're glad you're here, as always, joining us as a part of the show. YouTube, the podcast, wherever it might be, search Heartland College Sports and make sure that you are subscribed. What else do we have here from you guys? I'm going through some of your questions. Mitchell, who seems to have the best returning rosters for next season as of right now before the portal opens? Obviously, we know a lot of things may change in the next month. You know, it's easy to sit here and say BYU, just because of how the program is built, does a very good job retaining. That's just the kind of program it is, right? It's not a come in for a year, pit stop at BYU and leave. I mean, you're obviously buying in to a lifestyle when you come to BYU. So it's easy to answer BYU. I think that's one right now that stands out. Texas Tech, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Tech because all those guys are getting ready for a college football playoff, so it's very unlikely that any top names are going to be out there and talking about transferring in the middle of a college football playoff run. So, but I'll put Texas Tech on that list. Utah, right? They're returning a lot of their top guys. You have not seen a lot of portal players hit from Utah so far in the offseason. So those are my top three right now if I'm looking at it, BYU, Texas Tech, and Utah. And if I got to throw somebody else into that mix, probably would say it's Arizona. I'm not seeing a lot of noise out of Tucson right now. So that's where I'm at on that one. What else do we have when it comes to your questions here on the mailbag? I like to do this live and just do it on the fly and answer on the fly. Oaky Light, what's Pete's Christmas meal? We are going with the ham. Big fan of ham. Always been a ham guy. Love the Christmas ham. Love the saltiness. Love, I could go gravy on the ham. I could go mustard. Love the sides, the string beans, the mashed potatoes. I like the ham more than I do the Thanksgiving turkey. And I had the pneumonia for Thanksgiving, so I'm due for a big holiday dinner. But the Christmas meal at our house with the in-laws is going to be a Christmas ham. The wife wanted to go with a chuck roast, but word on the street was there were members of the family not interested, which I didn't really care. I prefer the ham, to be honest. So ham was the universal answer when it came to the Christmas meal, and that's cool with me. So if you got something better, if you've got a great side for Christmas, please do drop it in the chat. I would love to know what that is for you because I like different things. I like trying new things. I mean, we do it very traditionally. But if you've got something good to try on Christmas, I mean, heck, it's going to be like 73 degrees in Kansas City. I'm like, I'm just going to throw some burgers and ribs on the grill, right? Smoke them up. But that idea got nixed pretty quickly, so we're not going to be doing that. Oh, man. Bracket Cat says, we're still paying for Choklahoma's sins in the college football playoff. Yep. Yep, that is exactly right. Oklahoma is 0-5 all-time in the college football playoff. Four of those losses came in the Big 12. One of those losses came last week in the SEC when they blew a 17-point lead against Alabama. Chuck, who's the best returning quarterback for next year, and why is it Sorsby? Well, why do we think it's Sorsby when the Cincinnati quarterback entered the transfer portal? Unless you're just assuming he's going to end up at a place like Texas Tech, which obviously has been rumored. But, you know, is the best returning quarterback? Gosh, dang. I mean, don't look now, but is the best returning quarterback in Provo, Utah? Is it Bear Bachmeier? That might be my guy right now. Bert Ficklin's coming back after a monster backup season at Utah. I mean, does he become an absolute stud in the Big 12? Brendan Sorsby's good, and obviously he would probably be better with Texas Tech than he was Cincinnati, but I don't think of Brendan Sorsby as a stud. He beat up on some bad teams and had some big games against some bad teams. I also watched him in that Nebraska game to open up the season last year throw a horrible interception at the end of the game. So, I mean, he may go to Texas Tech if he goes and have great pieces around him, but I'm not sitting here as a Brendan Sorsby lover. That's just me. We'll see what Avery Johnson does at K-State too, but I wouldn't say he's anywhere close to being a top guy. Josh Hoover's hit the portal at TCU, so that's a big deal as well. So, you know my answers. Probably somewhere in the state of Utah is where I would go with the best returning quarterback in the Big 12. Could Tech become an Oregon in college football? Never be a blue blood, but a quasi-blue blood. Absolutely. Cody Campbell's Phil Knight. All right? Cody Campbell's Phil Knight. So, yes. Pete, I thought Levitt was better than Sorsby. Yeah, but Sam Levitt's gone. I mean, guys, I know that some of you, are, and I totally get it. It's my job to keep up with this stuff. But Levitt's gone. Sorsby's gone, but expected to potentially stay in the Big 12. So these guys just, they're gone. They're not coming back. Peter asks on YouTube, Pete, how do the new head coaches fare next season in the Big 12? Excellent question. And I will answer that by simply saying this. You've got Eric Morris at Oklahoma State. You have Colin Klein at Kansas State. You have Jimmy Rogers at Iowa State. And you have Morgan Scalley at Utah. If I had to rank those four guys right now in terms of how they would do next season, I would go Morgan Scalley, Colin Klein, Jimmy Rogers, Eric Morris. Oklahoma State's got a massive rebuild on its hands. We know that. Jimmy Rogers, I think, is going to have some trouble. I think Iowa State's going to pull back a little bit to the pack here. I would love to be wrong, but you have seen so many top players hit the portal. He's going to have to reset in many ways the culture, his vision for the program. He can't run Matt Campbell light. He's got to have his stamp on the program. I don't know what the NIL deal is there and what's going on, but all these guys are hitting the portal, and I don't think it's a great sign right now for the program. So I think that Iowa State's going to have some issues early on. And then Colin Klein at Kansas State, listen, he's the guy. He's got the money. He's got the support. He knows the infrastructure. He knows the place. He can have massive success. And then you have Morgan Scalley at Utah, who I think is best poised. They've got a ton of money. They've got this private equity deal. It is a coaching waiting situation. The people in line understood this was going to be in place for 18 months. There's a continuity there that you don't have in many situations. And they appear to be bringing back the people they want to bring back. So Morgan Scalley is in the best situation in the Big 12 of any of these teams when it comes to who's set up to have success next year of the four new head coaches in the Big 12 conference. Great stuff, guys. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll do some stuff before Christmas. It won't be our last show. I promise you that. Make sure that you are subscribed right now, Heartland College Sports. That would be the Christmas gift I want from you. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, and if you're on the podcast, drop that 5-star rating and review, and like this video right now. Would you like it right now? Makes a big deal. Helps us out a lot. I mean, We're doing record numbers on the show, and that's because you're sharing the show. You're doing those little things that genuinely make a difference. So thank you so much. Since I'm doing this one live right now, thank you for making this a tremendous year for this show. And if you do want to be a part of it with your business, we're looking at things in 2026 that we have not done before. So feel free to reach out. Pete Mundo, M-U-N-D-O, at heartlandcollegesports.com. Thank you for the support. We love you. We love the Big 12. We'll talk to you soon, and enjoy Christmas.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.